I see. Living and vibing with Rusty.
Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening to all my blessed beloveds out there in Radio Land. It's living and thriving time. Yeah, it's living and thriving with me, Rusty. Today's Thursday, my absolute favorite day of the week. Well, any day that ends in a Y is a great day because I'm alive. But every Thursday, twice a day, I get to bring you amazing people from all over the world to find out what's all ooey and gooey on their insides. We get to break them open, figure out what makes them tick, and 90% of the time have a really, really good time doing and learning and being inspired and motivated, and hopefully your creative juices flow as much as mine do. I get so excited about being on this show and meeting all of these amazing people from all over the world, and I get to do it from the comfort of my living room. I know, crazy me. Today, I was on This Has to Be Said by Catherine Waddell, and I was so excited about that because we've been long-term friends for a really, really long time. When I started podcasting, she started podcasting, so she invited me to be on her show today, and I will let you know when that's going to air. It's a TV show out of Charlotte, North Carolina, so I'm really excited about that. Tonight, I'm going to be 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time at Baltimore is Talking Live, and I'm really excited about that because, hey, I get to go to North Carolina and Baltimore all from the Gulf Coast of Florida. Isn't that amazing? I know. Pretty cool. Today, I am super excited about having Jason Crittle on. He's a CEO. He's a single dad. He's an author, and he's actually quite fun to talk to. So God knows where this conversation is going to go, but I know it's going to be exciting. He's got a new product out that he wants to talk about, but we're going to open him up and see what makes him tick. I'm thrilled about that. And otherwise, I would love, 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 love for you to email me or write me, send me postcards. I love getting information and feedback, and I love hearing your stories. I have enough guests to cover about 5 years of podcasting, and you could be one of them. So don't forget to write me. Go onto my website, rusty.info, and or get onto my social media. Connect with me there. Love it. All right. Let's see if we can find Mr. Fancy Pants. All right, Mr. Fancy Pants, you must be there.
Mr. Fancy Pants is here.
Yes, well,
I'm here.
Mr. Fancy Pants with his new app, but we'll get to that later.
Yeah.
I'm excited to talk and learn more about that. But who are you? What do you do? And what makes you tick?
Oh, my gosh. It's really funny because I was like, one of my favorite days is Thursday too, but wait, no, it's not, because I'm an entrepreneur and we don't take weekends. Because I was like, well, maybe she likes Thursdays because it's almost Friday, but I mean, let's face it, whenever we work from home and when we do what we do, like, there's never really time off. So we don't follow that Monday through Friday thing.
I'm always very grateful to have another day in my repertoire so that I get to learn and be a better version of myself. So every day of the week is really my favorite. Thursday's extra special because, you're here.
The show is here. And and I finally, you know, I finally got to listen to a couple of your older shows, but I've just been, and we talked about this last week, I've been fascinated by your writing. And you put so much heart into everything that you write. And it's fun because whenever I'm reading, like, your Medium blog, I hear your voice in my head. And I hear that soft, that very soft, subtle, it's a beautiful day. It's a delicious day. I'll read something that you write. And I feel goosebumps, you know. So as far as what I do, you know, and you can appreciate this, for a living, I'm a dad. And I have a 9-year-old. I homeschool her. She has her own podcast where she reads children's books. And, you know, she's very bright, very cool, very sweet young lady. But I've also spent a considerable amount of time in sales and helping small business owners get their brands off the ground. And so you know, we'll get into the app later, but the whole reason why we launched this piece of software is because entrepreneurs are business owners. People that are listening to this show are business owners. And one of the things that we're all looking for is ways to expand our reach, ways to expand our audience, ways to make more income. And I've spent the last 8 years of my life just trying to help show people a different perspective on how they can go about making income. And so what makes me tick is helping people. What my recreation is work. And so anything that revolves around what I do, helping people expand their mind, helping people increase their bottom line, or just being an ear for people to listen to, that's my job. That's my work, and I love it. And it allows me to be at home with my daughter and raise my daughter. Because when I was a kid, my parents weren't there. My parents just worked. And from the time I woke up in the morning to go to school to the time I went to bed, feeding myself all the way through, I had no relationship with my parents. And so I really wanted to put my life in a position where I could do what I wanted to do. And then once I finally made it there, I was like, I want to teach other people how to do this too, because this is fun. This is really fun.
So back up all the way to the very basics. Let's do, you know, a topic flyover of your life. You were basically alone as a kid? I mean, it's not unusual, for especially for our generation, but you had fun for yourself, right?
Yeah. I mean, I was born in I had a family. I had siblings. I'm the second youngest of seven, but a few of those a few of those are half brothers, but we just all kind of grew up together. My oldest brothers are significantly older. Well, not significantly older than me. They're all at least 10 years older than me. So by the time I was coming up and really starting to do things on my own, they were already moved out of the house. But from the ages of probably 8 or 9, my daughter's 9 now, but from the ages of 9 until I moved out when I was 17, I mean, it was just me and my two sisters. My younger sister is a year younger than me. My older sister is a year older than me. And yeah, I mean, we woke up in the morning, we fed ourselves, we got ourselves to school, we brought ourselves home from school, we did our homework, we fed ourselves. And my mom, bless her heart, I mean, she did everything that she could to be there for us and to have a relationship with us and to help us with homework and stuff. But man, I remember when I was a teenager, my mom worked two full-time jobs, a part-time job, and was going to college to try and finish getting her accounting degree. And so she was home maybe, I mean, there might have been 3 to 4 hours a day where she was actually home. But when she was, everybody was asleep.
Yeah.
So it was just a different, you know, what do they call us? Our generation, like latchkey kids? Is that what they call us?
Latchkey, yeah.
Yeah, we're the generation that raised ourselves.
Well, and I have to say, as a single mom, and you're a single dad, so don't try not to be offended when I say single mom. I can only relate to that. It sucks. It sucks. It sucks so bad when you have to work, you know, crazy hours and multiple jobs, and you're just watching your kid grow up. It's like sometimes I feel like I'm a puppy at a pet store looking out at all the possible people that could rub my belly, you know, but they just drive by. And for, you know, my daughter, became a freshman Monday morning, and I'm like, whoa, how did this even happen? When did that happen? But we get so busy. And when you're only one person household, you have three times the amount of work, you know?
Right.
And I love it. I love my kid, and I know you love your daughter tremendously, but there are days where you're just like, really? It's not.
Uh-oh, you got the pup barking at something.
She's learning. She's in this, we're house sitting and puppy sitting while my friend goes on vacation with her family. And this dog, Pepper, is a husky, and she's about a year old, and she's only if you don't give her attention. So I've been doing training, and I've got her a training collar. And so far, she's been really good until just now. I even made her peanut butter
and
banana cookies.
Until you get on the air.
This is the fourth time I've been on the air today, so.
Yeah. I want some peanut butter and banana cookies. That sounds
good.
Oh my God,
they're so good. I'm like, there's nothing in here that's specifically doggy, you know.
I tell you what, though, Rusty, you're right. You're right. I mean, you know, we talked about this last week whenever we had the pleasure of being introduced to each other. Next month in September, Smarter will be 4 years old. So we're definitely not a new company. We've been around for a while. And this product that we released is not, it's not as much a new piece of software as it is a very cool updated piece of software that we've had out there for about 3 years. And so I was talking about this just this morning, like, you meet people and they go, oh, you're the CEO of this, or you have these books out, or like you have this podcast, you're so lucky, that's so cool. But it seems like people want to share in the blessings, but they don't want to share in the hardships. They see what the internet shows them. What they don't see is all the work that it took to get to that point. The bigger the brand, the more you have out there online, the more podcasts you have done, the more businesses you own, it really just translates to the less time you got to spend with your family. And so whenever I look at Smarter being 4 years old next year, it's like, in reality, my daughter was 5 years old when I started this company. And sometimes I feel like I missed the last 4 years of her life. And even though I homeschool her, and even though we spend every day together, and even though, like, this morning I was on a radio show. It was a follow-up from a gentleman. I was on his radio show in December of 2016. And it was video. It was recorded in video. And in that video, Emma came and sat down beside me, and she said hi to the audience. But she looked like a baby. She was 7, and she's 9 now. But she looked like a baby. She looked so small and so young and so tiny and so cute. And now at 9, and your daughter's 14, so you appreciate this. Now that she's 9, God. She farts and she puts her feet in your face and she forgets to put on deodorant. And you're like, I miss that little baby.
smells
so bad.
when they start walking around smelling like an onion ring, you're like, damn, who went to McDonald's?
Exactly.
This is nasty. What the hell? And you just want to chase them with Lysol.
Oh, yeah. We have extra deodorant in the house. There's hidden deodorant. In some houses they hide guns. In our houses we hide sticks of deodorant.
All right. Enough with you. So it's really a blessing, I think, to be a parent in the first place. But then, and you have your constant battles with onion rings and eye rolling and all of that stuff on top of trying to build and create and stay motivated, doing what it is that you're so passionate of doing. And that's a hard balance, isn't it?
Yeah, very much. It's a balance that people don't understand unless they live through it.
Yeah, and it's funny because if you were to actually videotape a single parent's life, it's entertaining because we're literally doing the dishes, we're on the phone making doctor's appointments, we're talking to teachers, we're doing like 15 different things all within a half an hour span.
Right.
And in a healthy relationship, at least I'm told, you have another person helping you out with that. All my listeners know my marriage was not like that. There was no equilibrium there. But it's a labor of love, you know? And like with the product that you do, you've written a book, you've done quite a bit. So talk to us a little bit about the book that you wrote and how that's influenced you, not only as a single dad, but has also assisted you with being a better coach, a better leader, and a CEO.
Yeah. So I did write a book back in 2014, and I've written 19 more since then. And so I have about 20 published books of my own. Yeah,
you
that's a lot. I know.
You're showing off.
Yeah.
I've only got 9.
And, so I have about 19 or 20 published, and 11 or 12 of them became like Amazon bestsellers, I haven't been a New York Times bestseller yet, but you know, that's the stigma of being a self-published author. You can become the Amazon bestseller, but not, but you know, the New York Times bestseller is just like a different. It's just it's not a different step. It's not harder. It's just a completely different ball game that we're not involved in because we haven't been writing books for 50 years and we don't have those contracts.
We didn't get through a traditional process. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. And so, so I first started writing to, I was in sales, and whenever I would go to an organization to speak or whenever I would get introduced to somebody or whenever, I kind of just kept telling the same story. And so it's not that I was trying to tell the same story over and over again. It's just that this story that I was telling is in different pieces of that story is what I was telling people so that they could trust doing business with me. And
right. And
so I wrote my first book so that I could get that story, or my first couple of books, so I could get that story out to help people understand who I am, help people understand what I was doing with my life at the time and how I could help them. And it really just got to the point to where I realized that I love to write. So I decided to start a publishing company and help other people tell their story, help other people get books out there, take advantage of the assets that were their books that I was helping them publish. But it just kept going. I really feel like I became an author before I became a writer. And even though I love to write, and even though I've been writing my entire life, now that
it's
I consider
process.
Myself a writer, I can't stop writing. I write on blogs. I write on Quora. I write for Forbes sometimes. I just want to write. And so whenever I'm not filling my day with a project or business or something that it is that I'm working on, like writing is my default. Writing is that thing that I can do that still makes me feel productive every time I sit down and write. And,
well, and I love,
as far as,
I love it because we absolutely share that same passion. I feel like I have a labyrinth in my head of amazing words that are just flying by and they're hitting walls and they have to come out of my head. And so all I do is write. I don't write necessarily grammatically well, but I like my voice and I like my story and I like my style, but it took a long time to get comfortable with that. How long did it take you to really get comfortable with your style?
It took a little while. My first book was 26,000 words, and it took me 9 months to write it, edit it, rewrite it, proofread it, rewrite it, change it, edit it. But now I can sit down and write 25,000 words in a day if I have nothing else to do. And so the style came from realizing that the best books are heard. They are not written. And so whenever I used to sit down to write, I went through that BS that we learned in school. Like you draw the circle. Like you remember the outline? You draw the circle and then you draw the lines out and this is where your chapters go and then you do this and you do this and you do this. And so that's this formula that I was trying to follow to write. And I realized that there's a lot of effort in trying to reproduce that formula, but there's not effort in speaking. And so it really just became this transition of learning to write like I speak and learning that I can sit down at a computer and I can type out my thoughts just as fast as I would have a conversation with somebody. And so once I went from the transition of trying to outline and trying to follow this formula that was taught to us to just pretending that I'm carrying on a conversation with somebody that's reading this, then it became a lot easier and a lot more fun to write. And I write because I like to write. I could care less if people read it. It's exactly. My way of communicating truth to myself. And you're probably the same way. There's times where I sit down and I write, and then I reread it, and I'm like, oh, wow, I never knew that before. And so it's like you teach yourself something by writing. There's this subconscious voice there's this voice that we don't hear, that we don't even know it's there. But until we sit down and try and get those words on paper, we almost have no access to it. And so that's one of the key factors to – I think my success is the learning how to write and learning how to sit down and produce content, produce companies, produce ideas, regardless if anybody cares about it or not, if anybody sees it or thinks about it or not. That's what's really allowed me to become the creative person that I am today. And on the outside, it's work. On the inside, it's just me. And if I'm not doing it, then I would drive myself nuts. I'd be going crazy if I didn't write every day.
I find it a fascinating journey. It's like, it must be, and I know you can relate to this, but it must be like when we were cave people and we started banging the rocks and we're like, ooh, spark. And then we keep banging and then, ooh, fire.
Right.
You know, but there are times where I will reread something that I've written and I'll absolutely hate it. Or yeah. I'll reread what I've written and I'm going, damn, look at you, girl.
Right.
And it's through that process I learn more about myself, my capabilities, my wants, my desires, my evolution of my person on this planet. And it's fun. It's just fun.
I like that you said evolution, because that's exactly what I was going to say. You can see your growth. And there's not a lot that people do on a daily basis where they can compare and contrast growth from one point of their life to another.
Right.
Whenever I was a personal trainer, I used to weigh 400 pounds and I lost a bunch of weight, and that's kind of how I got into doing what I do now, was through training people and learning to help people. But it was the before and after picture, or the step-by-step from taking a picture from month to month. That's what really conditioned me and motivated me to change. And, you know, there's still people that are out there reading my first book. I think it's terrible. I'm like, you read this crap?
Yeah.
You know? And because it was before I found my voice. And so whenever I read it, to me, it's not even me. It's like this this almost empty shell of what I am now. But then I'll write an article or I'll write a blog on Quora, and you know, I'm about to start transferring a lot of my content over to my own blog, Smarter Living. But I'll get caught up reading something that I wrote, and then I'll be like, wow, that was really good. Let me read another one. And then I'll read another one, and I'm like, wow, I learned a lot. Let me read another one. And before I know it, I just spent an hour reading my own stuff. and it's because it's really good. And I'm not doing that to have an ego or sound conceited. It's just like, I'm sitting here in my head. I'm like, who is this guy? This guy can really write. This is really awesome stuff. And it, right. And that's what drives me to keep doing it.
Well, and I think anything that you're passionate about, you work at bettering yourself and your skill set. So if you're a wood carver, if you're a doctor, I hope, might have been a bad analogy.
Yeah. Practicing on cadavers at home in their basement.
Hey, you know, there's really good books about that stuff. But I think you get, I think when you're passionate, I think that's really the key of the whole conversation, is that when you find your passionate place, you do over and over and over again, which practice makes perfect, right? And
right.
You start getting really good at it. And then if you take a step back, you surprise yourself. You know, wow.
Right.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, it gives you, like I said, it's that comparison, you know, being a writer, having a podcast. You know, I was on this podcast this morning, and I realized that whenever I talked to this guy in 2016, that I hadn't really found my voice yet. And so there was, to me, it just kind of sounded like monotone. There were a lot of gaps. There was a lot of ums and whats and and oh and trying to put my message together, but it almost felt, when I looked at it, it felt forced. It was like reading that first book, going back and reading that first book before I really found a knack for writing. And I'm sitting there going, who is this guy? Like, I wouldn't have watched this show. I wouldn't have listened to this podcast. This guy is like not entertaining at all. But with a little bit of practice, he can become a lot better. If he spends time honing his message and working on speech and working on trying to put more emotion into what he's saying to the audience, then this guy can be really good at what he's doing. And that's the fun part of it, is because I'm the guy. And you're the lady. And so whenever you listen to your podcast from years ago, or whenever you have a chance to go back and read your old writing, you get to see your growth. And the truth is, most people don't grow. I'm going to say something on your show that I say every once in a while, but it does offend some people, so I don't say it that often. Everybody thinks that they are unique. What's that?
Are
you ready for me
it.
To offend people?
I'm ready.
Everybody thinks that they are unique because they have a past. We all have a past. We all have memories. Mm-hmm. We all have family. We all grew up somewhere. That is something that is completely not unique to everybody. What most people don't have, or what a lot of people don't have, is a future. A real future where they actually get to do the things that they've always dreamed to do and be the person that they've always dreamed to be, of being. Because unless you're taking those steps on a day-to-day basis, whether it's recording a podcast and keeping your show going, regardless of who listens to it, or writing, or getting better at cutting people open in your basement, like you mentioned earlier, or it doesn't matter what it is you do, you have to be willing to get better at it, and you have to be able to check your progress. You have to be able to look back and see where you were at one point and see where you are now. And the reality is, most people, many people, a large percentage of people, over 90% of people, do not live a life or put themselves in a position where they are growing or where they are able to track that growth. Somebody could say, oh, Jason's full of crap. I've been working at this job for 30 years. Well, you don't have 30 years of experience. Like, there's not 30 years of growth. There's 30 years of repeating the same year over and over again. And so that's one of the key differences between an entrepreneur and an employee that does that 9-to-5 thing is if you're an entrepreneur and you're not focusing on growth, I mean, you're going to have to go back and get a job. It's that simple. If you're not evolving, there's absolutely no way you will ever be able to survive as an entrepreneur. And it's a different mindset and it's a different desire. I like being on radio shows. I like writing. I like telling people about the hardships of my life. But you look at somebody like my mom, she thinks it's all weird and she doesn't understand it. She doesn't want to become famous. She doesn't want anybody to know anything about her life. She can't believe some of the stuff that I share with the public. But I remember when I was younger and I would tell somebody a secret and then they would share that secret with other people. I felt so betrayed and I felt so hurt. But then once I got older and I started writing, I was like, man, if I tell everybody my secret, then I'm free. I'm free. Like, I don't have to hold this in anymore. And so the life that I live at home is the life that I write about. And that's the same thing with you. The reason why I love and I enjoy reading your writing so much is because I feel like I'm part of your life. You're not just writing to make a sale. You're writing to let somebody know that this is what you did yesterday.
My intention is really to bring a humanistic perspective to things that have been otherwise masked as, I don't know how to say it politely. There's a human perspective to life that we try to ignore or prevent any kind of emotionality to rape, domestic violence, homelessness, poverty, child abuse. Like, we try to keep such an arm's distance and we try to pretend that it doesn't exist. I guess that's the best way to put it.
Sweeping it under the rug. If we don't pay attention to it, it doesn't exist in our life.
It'll go away. You know, and we've had ostrich syndrome for hundreds of years. And I'm the ostrich who's like, look, I'm a zebra. Look at all my stripes. I'm going to run around like a zebra, you know.
Right.
When it really, you know, I've been an ostrich for most of my life. So the fun part about what I've decided to do is to be very authentic, very transparent, and very real about my circumstances, past or present. And it invites you to be uncomfortable. It invites you to be pissed off. It invites you to have emotions. It invites you to not be an ostrich. Now you're a zebra.
Right.
So, and I did that consciously because, like you, I'm free. What you gonna say about me? I already wrote about it.
Right. Exactly.
There's
nothing that you can say to anybody that would surprise me. Somebody's trying to reach into my closet and share my skeletons with people, and I'm like, that was a bestseller back in 2015. What else you got?
Exactly. Bring it.
You can't hold this against me. What else you got? Bring it.
Right.
But that's where the growth comes from, right? Because like you said, the ostrich, it can be the ostrich, it can be the black sheep. It is the person that stands out from the crowd. Everybody's doing this thing, and you're the person that's trying to not do the thing. You're the person that's saying, look at my stripes. Because if you're doing, because along with that 9-to-5 job, and doing the same thing over and over again every day comes a fake person who thinks they're not allowed to feel. And I have people ask me all the time, like, Jason, how do you stay so positive? I don't stay positive. I stay Jason. And so whenever something pisses me off, I get pissed. And I allow myself to feel that emotion. But what I don't do is get stuck in being pissed off for a week like some people do. If I have something that's going on that's wrong in my day, then the thing that's going wrong is going wrong in my head. And that means if it's going wrong in my head, it doesn't have to be going wrong in my hands. And what I mean by that is I don't have to take that out on other people. And so it's just a different way of living your life. You have somebody that has, am I allowed to cuss? Can I?
Yeah,
or do
go
I
for
need
it.
A, no.
Okay.
Yeah. So, okay, cool. So I didn't know, but I'm glad I asked. So I wrote this quote years ago and it kind of went viral on Instagram before it disappeared. But it said, people who take shit at work start shit at home. And very simple. But it's because I realized that a lot of these problems with domestic violence, with abuse, a lot of these problems that go on at home stem from the fact that the person doesn't know how to express their emotions healthily. And so they sit at work, and their boss is screaming in their face all day. And instead of just giving that person their mind and giving that person their feedback and saying, I'm not going to take this, then they bottle it up and they put a smile on their face, and then they go home and they take it out on their family.
Yep,
and
exactly right. Exactly
they destroy
right.
relationships. And the reason why they destroy relationships, and then they break up or they get divorced and they go to the next relationship and they do it again. And then they do it again, and they do it again, and they haven't realized, why isn't my life growing? Why is my relationship with my kid failing? Why do all my spouses keep leaving me? Why is this happening? Well, because you haven't learned how to be a human. You haven't learned how to be a human. I used to call it a human being versus a human doing. And a lot of people are humans doing things, but a lot of people are not humans being what they want. And the funny thing about getting all your shit out in the open and airing all your dirty laundry and being out there with your emotions and allowing yourself to feel what you need to feel in the moment comes freedom. It comes freedom to do what you want to do with your life, be who you want to be, make money however you want. It's just freedom. You just have to let go and realize that, you know, you said you're blessed. You feel blessed every time you have another day. And
yeah.
And that's exactly right. That's the funny thing is we don't know yet if life is good or bad. Like, we don't know yet. Is waking up every day, is it worse than death? I mean, we don't know.
Right.
But
right,
what
right,
we
right.
can do is what our concept of best, the word best. What we can do is make the best of every day. Because if we wake up tomorrow, or if we don't wake up tomorrow and we die tonight, the world's going to go on anyway. This is going to keep going like you were never here. And so why live that day in misery? Because even though there might be a lot of stuff wrong in your head, and even though there might be a lot of things that you feel are going bad, to the rest of the world, you're just a guy in a car. You're just a person at
right.
the store. It only exists in your head. So just let it go.
It's a remarkable way to live your life when you just realize how beautiful all the living things are around you, and you focus on just that. You know, I live in Jurassic Park, and we have 75 different versions of lizards. That would take a whole lifetime
nice.
To name, much less to get to know what kinds. And yet, I think they're the cutest things on the planet. They're adorable, and I love watching them. We have plants and birds and all kinds of, it's just fun to be a part of life. This morning, I woke up, it was extremely early. Chloe's getting ready for school, and there's this ominous cloud formations coming. And we're right on the bay, you know, right in between the bay and the ocean, so we get a lot of weather. So this ominous cloud is coming, and all of a sudden, the fear of God just poured out of the sky. There's lightning, incredible lightning, almost scared me. Thunder, crack, crack, boom, boom, and then poof, it was gone. Completely gone. And I'm watching world wake up as the sun's rising and coming out of this ominous storm, and I'm watching the trees take shape. And I love that. It's like, it's so nice to be witness, to bear witness to life forming. And in a lot of ways, that's the way it is when you're waking up in the morning and right before the sun gets up. You don't see anything. The sun's what gives you the light so that you can see. So
right.
When you
and
get
think
to that
about
place
how
in
much
your life
people,
and you're good with it, amazing.
Think about how much of it people miss. I had a thought a couple of years ago. I was looking outside and it was pouring down rain. And I was like, humans are the only ones trying to get out of it. Like the birds are still doing their thing and the squirrels are still doing their thing. And the trees are absorbing and the grass is fulfilling and everything is doing what it's supposed to be doing. And here's this bozo running down the street with an umbrella because he doesn't want to get water on him, but he's going to go home and take a shower. How much sense does that make? You know, and I used to be a pool guy. And the first couple of years, I was in pool industry for over 10 years. And the first couple of years I was in pool industry, whenever it would rain, I'd pull out my poncho and I'd work. And then I put away the poncho and I just started getting rained on. And so now, whenever it's raining, everybody's like grabbing their raincoat, they're grabbing their poncho, they're grabbing their umbrella, and I'm just walking in the rain. I'm just walking because that's just life, and you're missing it. And the last time I checked, when I'm looking out my window right now, there's a couple of big-ass trees. And as far as abundance goes, those trees are doing a lot better than me. Like, when you look at where they are in their life, and how many buds they have on them and how many leaves and how much growth they've experienced in the last 50 years, they obviously know what they're doing. And whenever it rains, they're just sitting there. So maybe I should stop running through the rain. And it was funny because when you were talking about the ominous clouds, I was thinking about being in a plane. And it's right here on
the
ground.
That's the coolest, isn't it?
People are running away from the weather. People are running away from the rain. People are looking up in the sky and they're saying, oh, it's a terrible day. There's horrible weather. But if you just go a little bit higher, the sun's out and it's calm as can be. The sun is still there. You might not be able to see it right now, but there's still that beautiful sky just on the other side of what you think is a problem. And that thing that you think is a problem, you're the one running away from it. The birds aren't running away. The birds have been here for millions of years, tens of millions of years. We've been here for a few thousand in comparison. The trees have been here since the beginning. We've been here for a few thousand. So what is nature doing right that we just don't get yet?
And I love that because in perspective, when you get really good with that ideology, it's very difficult. We've trained ourselves not to pay attention. We've trained ourselves to not become emotionally or even spiritually woke. You know, we have our mote things that we do, and we don't expand from that. We stick to the same old box. And then there's those of us who are puddle hoppers. And they're like, ooh, that puddle is bigger. Let's jump on that one. And we have fun with it. When you get really, really good with that perspective, so many things open up for you, don't they? Like, life gets easier, I think, when you just sit back and say, huh, cool. It's okay.
Well, There's that old saying, like, there's that saying, the harder I work, the luckier I get. It just depends on what you see as work, what you see as
right.
what you see as luck. And you know, if I'm not talking, if I'm not on a radio show, if I'm not writing, if I'm not, those are the things that really make me feel great and make me feel complete. And so whenever I'm not doing those things, I'm either sleeping or trying to find something to do that
right.
does make me feel good. And so, you know, when you look at, like, my logo, for instance, if somebody were to go to jasoncriddle.com and they look at my logo, what they'll see is it looks like a J. It's like this circular J. And it's kind of cool. I created it myself. But it's not a J. It's a circle. And the dot is not the dot that goes over the J. It's a human being. And the day that I made that logo, it's because I had just finished having a conversation with a group of people about people live their life in a circle. And
mm-hmm.
if you live your life in a circle and you do the same thing day after day after day, then you inevitably set up yourself to have things happen to you. There, it can't be any other way. Things happen to you because you're walking the same path every day. But if you decide to walk a different path and leave that path, break from that cycle, then you can start taking control of the things that are happening, that you're doing. You start taking control. And that's really funny because when you say the word freedom, well, freedom to some people might sound like the complete opposite of control. But with freedom comes taking control of your life. And with taking control of your life comes freedom. Taking control of the circumstances that you come across on a day-to-day basis and not letting anybody or anything take you out of whatever mood you ultimately want to be in at that time. To me, that is freedom. I want to be mad right now. Well, I got news, kiddos. Anger is a creative emotion. And so whenever you hear the word mad, well, that the negativity attached to that word mad comes from people who don't express their emotions healthily. Mad doesn't mean shouting and kicking a wall. Mad means I need to change something so I don't feel this way again. And you allow yourself to feel this. You allow yourself to have your emotion. That's where freedom comes from. I do not make the excuse that most people do where I say, ugh, this thing ruined my day. No, that thing can never ruin your day. Your decision to allow it to control your day ruined your day.
I have to be the bearer of bad news, my friend. We are down to 12 minutes. Can you believe that?
Oh, my gosh. We didn't even talk business.
No, I know.
That happened the last time we got on the phone, and we weren't even recording. I mean, we're just talking and having a fun time. Remember I said, should we be recording this? And we were just talking.
That's what I love about it's exactly how I set this show up, because I want it to be two people sitting on the couch having a cocktail or a cup of tea or a cup of coffee, getting to know each other and having a conversation. We are so rooted in doing things in a box. And when you're genuinely listening and having a genuine conversation with somebody, you get to learn all about the ooey gooey stuff on the inside. And I love it. Where is your website? It is the delicious stuff. What is your website?
My website, if somebody wanted to find me, jasoncriddle.com, C-R-I-D-D-L-E. The easiest way to say it is it's Riddle with a C in front of it. If somebody wanted to get in touch with me to help their business, somebody can just go to the App Store and they can download the Jason app. Very simple. Yes, I own that name too. So somebody can download the Jason app. Do you want to talk for a minute about smarter marketing and
yes,
how
go
people,
for it.
You know? Yeah, so
you've
got
like a couple
eight,
minutes
nine
for that,
minutes.
But then I
okay.
want you to
right.
definitely
so,
give us a takeaway. So go.
Yeah, so smarter marketing, we created a piece of affiliate software. Usually whenever people hear the word affiliate marketing, they think of Amazon. They think of writing a blog or putting out a YouTube video and then putting a link to a product that's out there for somebody to buy on Amazon or Old Navy or Target. Well, affiliate marketing is what we do every day. It's referral marketing. It's having conversations with your friends and then your friends going out and buying that thing because you recommended they go and buy it or you said that you like it. Well, we created a piece of software that allows small businesses to have access to the same benefit, which is people talking about their stuff and people buying. So if someone were to download Smarter Marketing, S-M-A-R-T-R, Smarter without an E, if someone were to download Smarter Marketing or even go to thesmartermarketingapp.com, they are going to have the ability to become an affiliate for Smarter Marketing. And Smarter Marketing sells the affiliate software to businesses. So somebody can download Smarter Marketing, the Smarter Marketing app. Once they download it, once they register, they get their own referral code. They share that referral code with business owners who they feel need the software. And then they get paid month after month whenever businesses buy that software for their own business. So then let's just say that business bought that software. So now you are sitting here thinking to myself, man, how many business owners do I know that I would really help them sell their products or services if I had a way to track my efforts? Then you go and get them on, you go and give them your Smarter Marketing referral code. They buy, you make money. Now that they have their own app, now you can actually go and promote that business. So Rusty has her podcast, but Rusty also, she does consulting. She does whatever service, you know, crafts, teaching people how to set up a lizard atrium, whatever it is that she wants to do. Now, hey, I used to be the snake guy. I know what it's like. I used to have like 25 snakes. I get it. And so, and people would be like, why do you have these? And I'm like, because nobody else will care about them the way I will. It's that simple.
Right.
People are afraid of them. I love them. So anyway, back to Smarter Marketing. Smarter Marketing is really cool. And the reason it's cool is because anybody can register on Smarter Marketing and they can become an affiliate. It's free. So if you know a small business owner who needs an e-commerce app or a referral app, an affiliate app for their business, download Smarter Marketing, get your own referral code, and share your referral code, quite frankly, before somebody else does, because somebody else is going to hear about Smarter Marketing and you're going to miss a chance to make income month after month from that software. But here's the cool thing, because you're listening to Rusty's show, if you download Smarter Marketing and go ahead and register, when you go in, it's going to prompt you. It's going to say, enter the referral code of the person that referred you to Smarter Marketing. I want you to put in Rusty, R-U-S-T-I-E. And when you put in Rusty, you get $20 to go towards your earnings. Now, that doesn't just mean we're giving you $20 just to download the app. It doesn't work that way. You do need to become an affiliate for us, which means that you need to sell a couple of pieces of software. But once you make your first $100, then you get paid that $100 in earnings, and you get paid week after week for any of the pieces of software that were sold through your referral code. But you have a little incentive just because you're listening to Rusty's show. So put in Rusty's name, R-U-S-T-I-E, as the referral code once you're prompted, and you'll get a $20 head start on your first $100 in earnings. Pretty cool.
That is pretty cool. Thank you for doing that. That's awesome. And
yeah, I changed it before I got on the show. Yep.
Very cool.
Yep.
Very
and
cool.
you're the only person that will ever have Rusty as a referral code. How cool is that?
Yeah, they broke the mold after me, honey. You know.
Yeah, everybody else gets like a 5 or 6 digit referral code. We don't do custom referral codes for everybody. The referral code is custom made. But I mean, you know, since
right.
you're helping us out and allowing us to come on the show, and it made a lot more sense to tell people, you know, instead of trying to make them memorize a number, they memorize
exactly.
you because they broke the mold when they made you. So
that's it. That's it. High five to you and your team. That was awesome. I feel very honored.
Yay.
So you're down to 3.5 minutes. What is your takeaway? Is there three things that you want people to absolutely put in their pocket today?
Yes. I want everybody to put Smarter Marketing in their pocket, first of all, because I created this company to give the average everyday person the ability to make money promoting brands. So whether somebody's promoting Smarter Marketing, or if they go and get their friends or family members that have an app to use the software, and then those people have their own apps, then that allows you to promote the brands of the people that you love and make money for that. Something Rusty and I talked about last week, a lot of these emotional issues and a lot of these domestic issues that we deal with come from the fact that people are broke. And I
yep.
wanted to allow people to just download an app and have the ability to make a living. And it doesn't cost them anything to do that. So nobody will ever get charged to promote a company that's using our software. The other thing, you know, I don't know if I have three, but the other thing that I want people to focus on whenever they listen to this episode a second time and a third time is being free. Like being free. And what I mean by being free is feeling what you need to feel at the time and having and being in the emotional state that you need to be in at the time and getting over that shit and not taking it out on the people around you. The only thing that you should take out on people around you as much as you possibly can is love. I spend my life, my daughter sitting right here in front of me, smiling at me and eating some ramen noodles as I say this. I spend my life trying to give everybody I come in contact with the best experience of me that they can possibly have in that moment. And if we all lived life that way and we all had a little bit extra money in our pocket, I think this would be a much happier world.
Preach, preach, brother, preach. I love it. Amen, amen. And high five to your daughter for eating ramen. I haven't had ramen in 15 years.
Oh,
week,
ramen's
free
so
ramen.
Good. Here, hey, say hi, Emma. Say hi.
Hi.
Hi, Emma.
All right. Well, I'll let you end your show.
We got 90 seconds.
Right,
what's your website? One more time. Go.
Yeah. So Smarter Marketing, SMARTR. Download the Smarter Marketing app, either on iOS or Android. If you need a piece of affiliate software for your business, you can buy it in there. Or if you just want to become a promoter and make extra money selling the software or promoting the app, then register for the app, get your own referral code. Just make sure
Yay.
That once you register, you put in the referral code Rusty. Rusty doesn't get any extra incentive by putting in that referral code. You get an incentive by putting
Damn
in that
it.
Referral code. You, the person listening to this. You, the person listening to this, you get $20, a $20 head start that nobody else in the world is going to listen to unless they listen to Rusty's show. So that's pretty cool.
That's it. Thank you so much, Jason. You're listening to Living
yeah.
and Thriving with Rusty. I'm Rusty. That was Jason Criddle. Go check him out, jasoncriddle.com. It's Riddle with a C in front, and it's an ominous picture. I'm going to have him change it. He looks too stern in his face, his picture. I'm so glad that we were able to hang out today, learn the ooey-gooeyness of Jason, and we are out of time. So know that I love you. Know that you're blessed. Stay in bed 5 minutes longer, drive 5 miles slower, live and thrive every day and go out and do something nice for somebody.
Living and thriving with Rusty.